But the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:17, because a lot of people think, you know, it's not my problem, I don't need to worry about this. But 1 John 3:17 says, "But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You know, today, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they smell like. It doesn't matter where they come from. Jesus Christ loves them. And today, we ought to have a love for every single person. But you know, a lot of times it seems like that we're up here somewhere and we forget that we're just a bunch of sinners deserving hell. Every single one of us in this room is a sinner deserving hell. It's only by the grace of God today that we're not in hell, or that we're not sleeping under a bridge, or that we're not in a jail cell tonight. It's only by God's grace. Now, you know, when I got saved, I got a new heart. I used to make comments about that one on the street. But when I got saved, I got a new heart. I got a love for everybody. I love them tonight. I love that drunk on the street. I love that harlot on the corner tonight. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them about Jesus and about what Jesus Christ has done for me. But a lot of times it seems like we forgot that we're just sinners. But Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." But listen to this. "Especially unto them who are the household of faith." Especially unto them who are the household of faith. You saying, what are you talking about tonight? Do you realize tonight that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are hurting tonight? We've got brothers and sisters in Christ tonight living out on the street, sleeping under bridges, sleeping out in the woods, people to digging through trash cans. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you realize that tonight? I've heard people say, well, they wouldn't be out there if they were saved. Well, we're going to go over that here in a minute. We're going to go over that right here in a minute. But, you know, I've heard people say that. You know, every time I read this verse, I think about, it was a little over a year ago that I was up here in Northeast Maryland at Walmart. Little over a year ago was a brother, Tim Crusenberry. We were up here late at night. He's a pastor out of Bristol, Virginia. And we found a young man up here at the Walmart digging through a trash can trying to find something to eat. Well, this young man was 26 years old. And he had some kind of disease or something where he had to walk with a couple of sticks and he couldn't get around. But this man, we had the opportunity to get him some food. We had the opportunity to get him a place to stay for a little while. But the thing that really sticks out in my mind is this man took us back to a spot when he was 19 years old and the Lord saved his soul. He took us back to the spot where the Lord saved his soul, and he said that he was a church member. He was a church member, but when this disease came upon, when he hit rock bottom, he said the church crowd that he counted upon to lift him up, the church crowd that he counted upon to pray for him, he said they stuck their nose up in the air and didn't even recognize him as a human being. It ought not be that way today. We ought to have a love for everybody today. Every single person. But that was right up here in Northeast Maryland we run into this man. Like I say, it was a little over a year ago. But what he appreciated more than anything was we took the time to talk to him. We took the time to pray with him. That's what he appreciated more than anything we did. But today it seems like we've got an attitude here in America that we forgot. That we forgot about the poor and the needy. We forgot, we've turned our nose up in the air more or less. You're saying, what are you talking about? You say if they're saved, they won't be on the street. I've heard people say that. Well, my Bible teaches different over in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Very familiar scripture. Luke chapter 16 and 19 says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." And we know this story. We know that the rich man, in hell, he lifted his eyes. In hell, he lifted his eyes. But this rich man, he had all these wonderful things. All these things that the world had to offer. And this poor beggar laid outside his gate. This beggar laid out there and said, "Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." This rich man could have helped him. This rich man could have helped that beggar that was laying outside that gate. But he didn't have no heart for him. He didn't have no heart. And you say, what are you saying? I believe today that this is what's happened right here in our own country. Right here in America today, this is what we're seeing more and more of in America. You're saying, what are you talking about? Well, we'll cut our TV on today, and they'll show a commercial on TV of some old dog on there that's starving. And it'll break your heart. And these people will start running. They'll start handing money to this old dog down there that's starving. But yet there's children right around the corner that are starving, and we turn our back on those children that are starving today. I'm going to tell you today, we are to have a desire to help our people today. We are to have a desire to help that one that's hurting today. Do you realize that's what's happening in our own country today? In our own country, we've turned a back on our own people today. We live down there, like I say, in Abingdon, in a small town, down in Bristol on the Virginia side, the Bristol Virginia High School there. There's over 100 kids in that school that are homeless. Right there in that one school, there's over 100 kids that are homeless. But you know what? Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to be interested. You know, another verse over in Psalms 37, I believe this is what we're seeing here in America, Psalms 37 and verse 14. Says, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent down the bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be an upright conversation. The wicked have drawn out their sword and bent down their bow to cast down the poor and the needy. To cast down the poor and the needy. You say, what are you talking about? I told you we did a resource clinic in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. This is the first clinic we've done in Winston-Salem. But I'm going to tell you what's happened over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And this is happening in other cities throughout America. But over in Winston-Salem, the north side of town has been building shopping centers. They've been building new homes. They've been building new condos on the north side of town. So what's happened when they built all these new homes and all these new businesses over on the north side? All the poor and the needy have been pushed to the south side of town. Well, over on the south side of town, we rode around with Brother Goff out of Lex Wynn Baptist Church down there. He took us around and showed us what's happened down in Winston-Salem on the south side of town. I didn't know what was going on, but he took us and showed us. But over there on the south side of town, he took us to all these Baptist churches that used to be. All these Baptist churches used to be on the south side of town. Well, what's happened is all the money went to the north side of town. So all these Baptist churches have shut the doors and went to the north side of town and built buildings where the money was because they didn't want to minister to the poor and needy over there on the south side of town, leaving the south side of town with nobody to minister to them over there. There's nobody over there on the south side of town. You got Lex Wynn Baptist Church and you got Southside Baptist Church. Southside Baptist Church, they partnered with us too. But this is interesting. The pastor from Southside Baptist Church is a missionary from Chile that came to minister to Americans because there's nobody getting the gospel to them. But do you know who's come in on the south side? The Muslims have built a mosque over there and they're reaching as many people as they can possibly get, but the Baptists are sitting in the church pew doing nothing. That's what's happening here in America today. That's what's going on in our own country today. We push the poor and the needy away and there's nobody taking the gospel to them today here in America. And you know, I thank the Lord we've had the opportunity. We've sent missionaries all around the globe. But I'm telling you that America needs the gospel today. Everybody wants to cut on the news and they want to fuss about President Obama and they want to fuss about all these things that are taking place. And old Donald Trump stands up and says he's going to make America great again. Donald Trump can't make America great again. Only God can do it. Only God can make America great again today. And I'm going to tell you the reason today that we're seeing these things take place in America is because there's a shortage on the gospel. People want to know why are people getting shot? Down there in our hometown, we live outside of Bristol, 4th of July weekend. I think we had 3 shootings that weekend. We had 3 cops shot in one weekend. People say, why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing this homosexual movement? Why are we seeing this transgender movement? It's all these transgender bathrooms, all these things that are taking place. Because America needs the gospel. America needs the gospel. So pray today that we can go out and tell somebody about Jesus. You know, today, every single one of us ought to have a desire to tell somebody about Jesus. But that's what we need in our own country today. Like I say, I thank the Lord for the missions all around the world. But do you realize that there's a shortage on missionaries in America? Do you realize missionaries are coming from other countries to witness to our own people, to tell our own people about Jesus? That's happening right here in America. We live down in what they call the Bible Belt, and I've heard a lot of them old preachers down there, they'll say, well, son, everybody's heard the gospel. I'm going to tell you, if you believe that, you're more than welcome to go on the streets with us. You're going to find out really quick there's a lot of people that have no idea what's going on in here tonight. They have no idea what goes on inside these four walls. They may walk by a church every day, but they don't know what's going on. So just pray for us that we can go out and help somebody, tell somebody about Jesus. And then a lot of people, they say, well, you know, I'd like to help. But how can I help? Well, once again, if we back up to the homeless ministry again, very familiar scripture over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. A certain man, 15 verse 11. We'll start there. Said, a certain man had two sons. We all know this story very well. The prodigal son said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance over riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. So this younger man, this younger son basically took his inheritance. We know this story. Took the inheritance and he wasted it on that riotous living. He wasted on that ungodly living. But we're going to get to this next, the latter part here of verse 16 is what I want to get to. But a lot of people, you know, they'll find somebody out on the street. And what's the first thing you want to do a lot of times? Pull out their billfold and hand them some money. That's the first thing a lot of times somebody wants to do. But we don't encourage that in our ministry. We don't encourage giving money. You say, why is that? Because we've noticed a lot of times that one that's holding up that sign, a lot of times they're supporting an addiction. A lot of times there's an addiction or something that they're supporting. So you say, what are you getting at? Here in verse 16, at the end of that, it said, and no man gave unto him. And no man gave unto him. Have you ever thought about this prodigal son when he found himself eating in the hog pen? And no man gave in to him. He realized he needed the Father. When nobody gave to him, he realized he needed the Father. What if he'd have come in and opened up a food pantry? You ever thought about that? What if he'd come in and opened up a food pantry for this man? When he hit rock bottom, he got starving. He realized he needed to turn to the Father. He went back home. Went back to the Father. You know, today that's what I'm saying. It's a hard ministry to determine. Are you helping or are you enabling? You know, we don't have a problem with it. We don't have a problem giving anybody food, or we don't have a problem giving anybody clothes or whatever they need. I went and bought a man on the side of the interstate, went and bought him a toaster oven. I don't have a problem giving gifts like that or things like that. But you know, a lot of times somebody will come to you, you know, they're sleeping on posted property. And there's a mission down the road that they can go to, but they won't go to that mission because they're going to teach them about Jesus and they don't want to hear about Jesus. But yet they want you to buy them a new tent so that they can continue to live on posted property. So in that situation, think, are you helping or enabling? Just pray for us that we can go out, that we can use the wisdom to discern the difference and that we can help somebody. I don't never want to put a crutch on nobody or enable somebody. I want to do what they need to be helped. And you say, well, what do we need to do to help them? What can we do to help them? Well, that's very simple. That's very simple. One more scripture. Over in Acts chapter 3, very familiar scripture. It said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them which entered into the temple. But seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him and John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So this man, he was lame. This man was lame. They carried him outside that gate to ask for alms. So basically, this poor beggar was laid outside that gate begging for money. And he thought that if he could get that money, that would help him. You know, a lot of times, that's what we encounter out there on the street. These people think, if they get that money, that's going to help them. That's going to take care of their problem. But this man, he thought that was his. He thought that's what he needed, was that money. Well, you say, what are you getting at? If we read this next verse, in verse 6, it said, and then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, today, that's what they need. That's what the homeless needs today. That's what every person needs today, is they need Jesus. They need Jesus. I'm going to tell you today, that's the only way we can help them today. Is to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of ministries out there today. Or there's a lot of organizations today that are trying to help the homeless. There's a lot of them that will call us up and they're trying to help the homeless. And they're trying to do different things for the homeless. But a lot of these organizations are run by the state. They're run by the federal. They're run by taxpayers. And you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. If Jesus ain't involved, it can't give them the help that they need. It can't give them the help that they need. It may give them a temporary fix to their situation, but I'm going to tell you, if you leave out Jesus, it's no good. It's no good today. That's what they need today is Jesus. That's what every person needs today is Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you're this man here that was lame. that was carried in there, and he was looking for something of the world to help him out. Maybe you're in that situation today. Maybe there's something in today that you're searching for the world that you think's going to help you out, that you think's going to give you peace. I'm going to tell you today, if you're sitting here today and you're looking for peace in the world, you ain't going to find it. You're only going to find peace through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus is the only way that you're going to find peace, that you're going to find comfort. Maybe you got a void in your life today. I'm going to tell you that void can only be filled through Jesus. But today, pray that we can go out and tell somebody about Jesus. I encourage everybody in this church today to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time? You know, today we're living in a day to where it seems like that's just not politically correct. You say, what are you talking about? Today the Word of God tells us not to be ashamed. We're not to be ashamed of Jesus. A lot of people today, they'll go to church and they'll raise their hands and they'll sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But let me tell you something today. If you're sitting here tonight and you've been born again, your job is not to sit on the church pew and do nothing. Your job is to go out and minister and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Your job, once you leave that door, every single one of us is a missionary entering a mission field. And I want to ask you, when was the last time that you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time that you spread the gospel? You say, what are you saying? Well, the Word of God tells us over in Romans 10:10. I don't know how I got off on this, but I'm just trying to follow the Lord. Romans 10:10 says, for at the heart, man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Romans 10:11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I want to ask you today, in this politically correct crowd that we're living in, are you ashamed of Christ? Are you ashamed of Christ? You say, well, I'm not ashamed. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you told a co-worker about Jesus? When was the last time you told a friend or a family member about Jesus? I tell you today, if we ain't ashamed of Him, we ought to be telling somebody about Him. We ought to be telling somebody about Jesus. You know, my last job I had, I got in trouble on my last job. They told me that I was breaking the law. I didn't know it was illegal to hang sheetrock and sing Amazing Grace. But they said it was illegal. You can't hang sheetrock and sing Amazing Grace. And then I was took into office and I was told, you ain't allowed to mention the name of Jesus. Well, if we go on and we study that story in Acts, they basically told them, they said, we can't help but to talk about Jesus. We can't help but to tell them. I'm just paraphrasing there. But, you know, I worked with a lot of Baptists. A lot of Baptists that would go to church and raise their hands and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But when we was told we couldn't mention the name of Jesus, what do? They go over here in the corner and they say, now, we're going to have to be quiet. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble. Let me tell you something. Jesus gave us that job. Jesus could take that job away. I told him, I'm going to keep on breaking the law. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. I'm so sick of this politically correct crowd today. I'm going to tell you today, we need to get rid of this political correctness and we need to get biblically correct again. We need our lives to line up with the Word of God. That's what's happening to our nation today. And so many people are worried about offending somebody in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. If I say something out of the flesh and I offend you, then I apologize. But if it lines up with the Word of God and it's led by the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to apologize for God's Word today. I ain't going to apologize. But today we're so ashamed of our Lord and Savior. We say we're not ashamed. But when it comes down to these moments, all of a sudden, oh, we're going to back down. We ain't going to mention that. We're going to stay away from that. I'm going to tell you, that's killed our churches today. It's killed our nation today. But you know what another thing today that's killed our churches? Like I say, once again, I don't know how I got off on this, but over in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Listen to this. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You say, what are you getting at tonight? It seems like we've lost our joy in our churches. We've lost the joy in God's house. You know, we live down there in Bristol, and they're getting ready. Everybody's getting ready for that big ball game. Virginia Tech and Tennessee is getting ready to play down there. It's going to be the biggest sporting event in Tennessee. And they're getting all excited about that. They'll pack that place out, and they'll jump up and down, and they'll holler, and they'll scream. And NASCAR comes to town, and they jump up and down, and they holler, and they scream, and they get all excited about those things of the world. But you go to church and act like you're sitting in a morgue. You go to church, I'm going to tell you, that's where we ought to be loud. That's where we ought to be excited. There ain't nothing wrong with a good old Holy Ghost shout. Ain't nothing wrong with serving the Lord. But we get all tore up and excited about these things outside the church. We ought to get excited about the things inside the church. We ought to get excited about what God's doing, not what the world's doing. But today, church house seems like an obligation. An obligation more than a joy. I remember making comments years ago. I used to say, well, I got to go to church tonight. I don't got to go to church. I get to go to church. It's a privilege to be in God's house. It's a privilege to be around God's people. Ain't nothing I'd rather be doing than telling somebody about Jesus Christ. But I believe that we've lost that joy in our churches. You know, I got a good pastor friend down in Bristol. He told me one night he went to Walmart and he had on a shirt that said pastor. And he ran into this lady in Walmart. She started asking him about the church. And he told her he's a pastor down at the Baptist Church in Bristol. He invited her to come to church. Well, this lady told him, she said, well, she was an atheist. She said, I don't believe in God. And she started telling him all this. And anyway, she told him, she said, that she realized there was something that was missing. And she said she went to a local Baptist church there in Bristol because she was looking for that joy that the Baptists talk about. She was looking for that joy in the local Baptist church. Said when she went into the local Baptist church, she looked around. While the preacher was preaching, said half the congregation was playing on their cell phones. Said then she got to looking around a little bit more and said they all looked like they were enduring the service. Rather than enjoying it, they all looked like they were just sitting there thinking, I wish that preacher would just be quiet so we'd get out of here and go to the house. And she said, if that's the kind of joy the Baptist had, why did she want any part of it? Why did she want any part of that? Well, I'm going to tell you today, we've been stripped of our joy. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember that bubbling up inside, that great feeling inside? I remember that old devil. He said, you'll be ashamed, you'll be embarrassed. He was a liar. I ain't never been embarrassed. I want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ, that bubbling up that I had inside. I want to keep it. I want to ask you, do you remember that bubbling up? Well, let me ask you a simple question. Do you still got it? Do you still got that bubbling up? Because we hear it everywhere we go. We hear, preacher, I'm just not as close to God as I once was. I ain't trying to hurt your feelings, but the opposite of going forward is going reverse. If you ain't as close to God as you once was, then you need to do something about it. Because I'm going to tell you today, just like that prodigal son, maybe you need to return to the Father, because I'm going to tell you, you can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be just as close. The more you put into it, the more you're going to put out of it today. But we don't have time for God anymore because we're living in a day to where we just don't have time. You say, what are you talking about? You know, I thank the Lord for these revivals over in Burlington. 700 and some, I think, saved over there. I heard of one up in West Virginia. That's 200 or 300 saved, I heard, up in West Virginia, the revival they had. And I thank the Lord. I pray that these revivals will just continue to grow, that they'll continue to go throughout America. But I'm going to tell you today, we hear everywhere we go, oh, we want revival. Let's pray for revival. But you know why we don't see revival a lot of times? We say, let's pray for it, but do we want it? You're saying, what are you talking about? Well, let's start a revival today. You know, for 2 or 3 days, you can get people to come out. We have 2 or 3 day meetings. Somebody will come out Monday, somebody will come out Sunday, somebody will come out Monday. But then come Tuesday, well, Junior's got a ball game on Tuesday, we won't be able to come. I'm going to tell you today that we ought to put God's house back first. God's house ought to come first. It don't need to come last. It don't need to come above everything else. I remember when my girls, we lived up in Glade Spring, they used to play ball. And ain't nothing wrong with playing ball, ain't nothing wrong with having a good time. But we played ball for a couple of years. They had a good time. But then all of a sudden, here come the coach. Well, we want them to start being here on Wednesday. It wasn't long, here they come. Well, we'd like for them to play every once in a while on Sunday. You know, I told them, I said, look, I said, me and my girls were going to God's house. Rest of those people stood there and they said, look, now we made an obligation to this sport. What about the obligation to Jesus? Jesus Christ ought to come first. God's house ought to come first above all these things of the world today. But it seems like we put God's house second or third or last. I'm going to tell you today, you need to get in a good Bible-believing church. You need to get ground in today. And you need to be loyal to your church. I'm telling you, there's so many people today. They say we want revival, but you can't get them to come to God's house because they're so busy. They're so occupied with all the things that the world's got to offer. I remember when I first surrendered to preach. My wife and I working full-time, got 3 kids. Doors started opening 4 or 5 nights a week, right off the bat. Here I come in, Lord, I ain't got time. How am I going to do this? I don't have time. Lord said, examine your life. I was a huge football fan, huge Hokie fan. I'd sit there on Saturday in front of that TV for 12 hours. I'd sit there from 12 o'clock till after midnight watching football. I knew everything about college football. I knew every good play, every bad play, everything about college football. I'd come home from work in the evenings. I thought I had to lay on that couch 2 or 3 hours and watch TV. I had to unwind. But you know what? The Lord said, get rid of that cable. Get rid of that cable. I took that old cable box, took it back down to the cable company. And I'm going to tell you, we still go 4 or 5 times every week, sometimes more than that. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we ain't home for a month. But Lord, it seems like we have more time than what we ever had. And I ain't preaching against TV today, but whatever's between you and God, you need to get rid of it, and you need to put God back first in our lives. There's so many things, I believe, that we put in front of God. What about a cell phone? Every person in here has got a cell phone. We leave the house, we can't go nowhere without that cell phone. We'll turn around, we'll go back to the house and get it. We can't go anywhere. That cell phone has to be on us all the time. But yet, if we leave our Bible at church, it ain't no big deal. If we take our Bible and throw it up on the shelf for a week, it ain't no big deal. Just imagine if we treated our Bible as well as we do our cell phone. I'm going to tell you today, we need to put God back first in our churches. We need to put God back first in our homes today. We need to quit putting everything else in front of Him. And we need to get back to the old way. Because I'm going to tell you today, that's the only thing that's going to change America today. That's the only thing that's going to help us today, is if we put God first. But you know, it seems like today we don't have time for God. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time. You know, I remember as a boy, like I say, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I remember when we went to church. I remember them old gray-haired ladies that come around the altar. And them old gray-haired ladies, they had the power of God upon them. The preacher would preach, they'd cry out to God. The singers would sing, they'd cry out to God. And they had a true burden for the lost. We need some of them gray-haired ladies today that's got a burden for the lost. You know, we say we want to see people saved. But do we really, truly have a burden? When was the last time you gathered around the altar and cried out to God for that one that was dying and going to hell? When was the last time you really hit your knees and cried out to God for that one that was dying and going to hell? We go to a lot of churches all around, all over. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times you don't see anybody around the altar. Well, I'm going to tell you, when the altar dries up, a church dries up. When the altar dries up, a church dries up. That's where you find help, is around these old-fashioned altars. That's where God answers those prayers. That's where you'll see those souls saved, is around these old-fashioned altars. But today, it seems like we're just not interested in serving God. We're too politically correct. I'm going to tell you, I want my life to line up with the Word of God. If it don't line up with this good old King James Version Bible, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it today. But today, I believe there's too much church playing going on while our country is suffering. Our country is suffering today because we got so happy with going through the routine of sitting inside these four walls while the world around us is dying and going to hell. And I'm going to tell you today, if we're going to do anything, if we're going to see our country revived, if we're going to see great works in our country, it's going to have to start in God's house. We're going to have to go out and reach somebody. We're going to have to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to have to hit our knees and pray a little more. That's the only thing that's going to change this nation. Donald Trump can't make it great. Only God can make it great. He's the only answer today. So I don't know tonight what you're facing or going through. But maybe you're sitting here tonight, maybe there's something in your life that you're going through. You know, tonight you can find help around this altar. You can lay it down at the feet of Jesus, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through tonight. You know, I'd just like to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just a minute.